الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سلك سبيله واهتدى بهداه إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. The author Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abd al-Wahhab رحمه الله تعالى, he mentioned in his book Al-Kabair باب ما جاء في قذف المحصنات. Babu ma ja'a fi qadhfi al-muhsanat. The chapter with that which has come, the chapter with regards to that which has come in accusing falsely the pious and the righteous and the innocent women, accusing them with fornication. Accusing them with fornication. Qadhfu al-muhsanat. Qadhf is bimana ar-ramyi. Ar-ramyi. Qadhfa yakdhifu. Iqdhif qadhfan. Bimana rama yarmi. Irmi ramyan. To throw something. Qadhfa shay'an is to throw something. Wal qadhifa is ar-ramiyya. Something that is thrown and casted. So qadhafa, it means to cast something, and that's also what rama means in the Arabic language. But here what is intended is to is arittiham. Arittiham bighayri bayyina, to falsely accuse the women, specifically the chapter title, but likewise men as well are included, to falsely accuse them of committing fornication. So this is what is intended here by qadhf. And also the same word is used as well, ramyu. You say ramyu and muhsanat. Bimana qadhf, to falsely accuse them. So here, babu ma ja'a fi qadhf al-muhsanat. Al-muhsanat, what is intended by al-muhsanat huna, in this chapter title here, al-afa'if, or al-afifat. Meaning those who are chaste, those women who are chaste, al-afifat, al-bari'at, those who are chaste and those who are pure, al-tahirat, those who are pure and chaste, and those who are innocent from that which they are being accused of, those who are innocent of that which they have been accused of. So the chapter with regards to falsely accusing the righteous and pious and the innocent and the chaste women, this is the intent right here. So babu ma ja'a fi qadhf al-muhsanat, yani fi ma fihi min al-wa'id al-shadid. The clarification of what has come with regards to this affair here, of the severe warning, the severe warning of the anger and the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa annahu min kaba'ir al-lisan, and that this issue here is from those major sins that occur with the tongue, to falsely accuse the pious and righteous women, those chaste women who are covered in their deen and in their manners and their etiquette, and they're not known for these foul and lowly manners and the likes like that. Rather, they're chaste and they're pious and they're free from what they have been accused of. To accuse the likes of them is a major sin, and there's a great threat with regards to that. وَقَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, and the statement of Allah the Most High, the author, he says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ الْمُحْصَنَاتِ الْغَافِلَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ لُعِنُوا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. And the verse continues, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ الْمُحْصَنَاتِ الْغَافِلَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. Verily, indeed, those who make a ramy, here the word ramy is being used. And the title, the author, he mentioned in Qadhf, they have the same meaning, to accuse, to cast on them this accusation, and to put this accusation towards them. So indeed, those who accuse the chaste women, al-muhsanat, ay al-afifat, again, those chaste women, al-ghafilat, those who are heedless of this affair, meaning that they have been described with ghafla, which in general and normally, the attribute of ghafla is a bad attribute, and is a lowly attribute. Heedless, to be considered ghafil, is heedless. But what is intended here? That they are ghafilat, meaning that they are free, entirely, bari'at, that they are heedless of what they have been accused of. And they're so far away from that, and he's so far away from committing fornication and falling into this indecency, as if they're heedless about that affair. as if they are heedless about that affair. So here it's a praiseworthy description. Al-muhsanat al-ghafilat. Al-ghafilat al-mu'minat. Those chaste women who are chaste and they are pure and they are believers. Indeed, those who accuse them falsely, meaning of fornication and falling into indecency, لُعِنُوا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. That they are cursed in this life and in the hereafter. And they have a great punishment. And they have a great punishment. So this verse here clarifies what the author has intended, rahimahullahu ta'ala, that this is from the major sins. And that is in the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, لُعِنُوا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. لُعِنُوا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. That they are cursed in this life and in the hereafter. And we have seen from the means to determine and to identify the major sins and to distinguish them from the minor sins is that there will be a curse with regards to that. If a curse, the curse of Allah is mentioned with regards to that action, then this is an indication that it's a major sin. So here, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ الْمُحْصَنَاتِ الْغَافِلَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ لُعِنُوا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. They are cursed in this life and in the hereafter. So this is the indication that it's a major sin. Also the fact that they're threatened with this punishment as well. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. And likewise, they will have a great and tremendous punishment. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So this is the case for this issue, clarifying that it's from the major sins. But this particular verse is revealed with regards to the issue of arifk. The issue of arifk, that was a fabricated lie that was made against our mother Aisha radiallahu anha. And the reason for the revelation of this verse and the others like this verse in Surah An-Nur was with regards to those who falsely accused Aisha radiallahu anha. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala freed her from that and revealed the verses like this, clarifying the danger of speaking in this manner about the righteous and pious women in general. The righteous and pious women in general. Ibn Kathir rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentioned in his interpretation and commentary of this verse, he says, هَذَا وَعِيدٌ شَدِيدٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى لِلَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ الْمُحْصَنَاتِ الْغَافِلَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. That this is a severe warning and threat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those who falsely accuse the chaste and the pious and the innocent believing women. Ibn Kathir, he mentioned خُرِجَ مَخْرَجَ الْغَالِبِ. This is mentioned here in this manner. Normally this is the case, even if they were not heedless, meaning even if they thought about that, but they never even committed that. Likewise, the threat is for them as well. Likewise, the threat is for them as well. So long as they're muhsanat, mu'minat, this is the ruling with regards to that. As for ghafilat and the fact that they had these issues or the issue of fornication never crossed their mind, then he's mentioning here this one has come to mention that that is the case normally or most of the time. But even if it was not the case, even if there was a woman, for example, who thought about that, it crossed her mind, but she never fell into it, then she was falsely accused. The ruling would be the same. This is what he means here. خُرِجَ مخرج الغالب. فَأُمَّهَاتُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَوْلَى بِالدُّخُورِ فِي هَذَا مِنْ كُلِّ مُحْصَنَةٍ. And he says, rahimahullah, the mothers of the believers, they are included here first and foremost and most rightfully. The mothers of the believers, the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they're included in this verse here first and foremost, and they have most right to this affair here. And then he said, rahimahullah, وَلَا سِيَمَا أَلَّتِي كَانَتْ سَبَبَ النَّزُولِ وَهِيَ عَيْشَةُ بِنْتُ الصِّدِّيقِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا. And especially the mothers of the believer who was the reason for the revelation of these verses, which is Aisha, the daughter of الصِّدِّيقِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا. And then he says, Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, وَقَدْ أَجْمَعَ الْعُلَمَاءَ رَحِمُهُمَ اللَّهُ خَاطِبَةً عَلَى مَنْ سَبَّهَا بَعْدَ هَذَا ورماها بما رماها به بعد هذا الذي ذكر في هذه الآية فإنه كافر لأنه معاند للقرآن. So he says, and the scholars, the people of knowledge, all of them absolutely have agreed, may Allah have mercy on them, that anybody who curses Aisha now رضي الله عنها and accuses her of that which she was accused of in the affair of the ifk, and after that which is mentioned in this verse, then indeed he is a disbeliever. Indeed, this person is is a disbeliever, meaning the one who now claims that Aisha fell into what she was accused of and the likes like this, after the verses have been revealed and after the clarification has come and it was revealed from above the heavens that she was free and innocent of that false claim, radiallahu anha. Those who continue to claim that now, they're disbelievers because they are in direct opposition with the Quran. لِأَنَّهُ مُعَانِدٌ لِلْقُرْآنِ, because now he's in direct opposition in contradiction to the Quran. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, now he mentions another benefit. He says, وَفِي بَقِيَةِ أُمَهَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ قَوْلَانِ, and with regards to the rest of the mothers of the believers, meaning the rest of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَرَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُنَّ, there's two positions with regards to the people of knowledge. أَصَّحُهُمَا أَنَّهُنَّ كَهِيَّ, and the most correct opinion is that the rest of them, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُنَّ, are like her, radiallahu anha, meaning that the ruling is the same. If a person were to falsely accuse any of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the ruling is the same as if they had accused Aisha radiallahu anha. And this is because of الطيبون الطيبات, that those who are pious and righteous and pure and good, the righteous and the pure and good are for them, any of the men and the women. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is from the tayyibin. He is those who are good, and Allah has chosen for him the best and the most pure of the women. So all of his women, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they're free from this, the likes of this accusation. And those who accuse them of that, any one of them, they have the same ruling that he mentions here. And this is the correct or most correct opinion from the statements of the people of knowledge. That person, he will be a disbeliever, waliyadhu billah. But what is intended by the author now is this, no doubt, but the general ruling. The general ruling to clarify that those who falsely accuse the righteous women from the believers, those chaste women from the believers, those who are not known to fall into this action of indecency and the likes like this, then this is the threat for them. And they have fallen into a major sin. And the means for that was by way of their tongue, by way of their tongue. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So the author, he says, وَلَهُمَا عَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ مَرْفُوعًا. It has been narrated by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. From the hadith of Abi Hurairah رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, اجتنبوا السبع المبيخات. اجتنبوا, I need to avoid and stay away from the seven مبيخات, the seven destructive sins. المبيخات يعني المهنكات. المهنكات. To avoid and stay away from the seven major sins. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, here again, we have seen this this expression here, اجتنبوا, and it's greater and more inclusive in the advice than saying to leave. He didn't say اتركوا, to leave them, but rather اجتنبوا, to avoid and stay away from them. So this is the order from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, اجتنبوا السبع المبيقات, to avoid and stay away from, to leave off and avoid and stay away from. So al-ijtinab, it has the meaning of a tark wa ziyada. The meaning of a tark wa ziyada. Al-ijtinab, ijtinabu shay, yani tarkuhu wa abti'adu anhu. Tarkuhu wa abti'adu anhu. Naam, in tajtanibu kaba'ira ma tunhawna anhu, nukaffir ankum sayyatikum, wa nudkhilkum mudkhalan karima. Mudkhalan karima. We have seen that in the introduction to this work. So here again, the order to leave off and to avoid. This is important to realize, especially in the society that we live in now, because many times we're surrounded by people who are committing and falling in and perpetrating the major sins, and many times they are encouraged, and many times they are glorified, and they are decorated to seem good and to seem appealing, and to seem fair seeming, and the likes like this, and that it has a good outcome, but in reality it has a foul outcome. It has a foul outcome from the mixing and the likes in the society and having companions and friends of the opposite sex, to falling in to the different types of transactions that are left and right performed in the streets, in America and the likes like this, and in the markets, the transactions and the contracts and the dealings and the items that are bought and sold, and the manners likewise that they are bought and sold. Many times we will find that there are any actions that are considered major sins, but rather there are curses with regards to them, like the curse for the one who partakes in riba, and like the curse for the one who witnesses that and signs that, and like the curse for the one who carries the alcohol, somebody may, and the one who sells the alcohol, not only the one who drinks it, Rather, the one who drinks it and the one who mixes it, or he makes it and the one who carries it likewise, transports it, all of them, they're cursed. They have a curse. So some people, maybe they transport the likes of these things in their vehicles, in their cars, or in their trucks, and the likes like this, and it's something easy. But in reality, it's not anything easy any whatsoever. Rather, it's something heavy and major. Something heavy and major. So a believer has to be aware of these things again, and then avoid them and stay away from them. Avoid them and stay away from them. Avoid them and stay away from them. This is very important. اجتنبوا السبع المبيخات. And the Salaf, they used to say, كَيْفَ يَتَّقِي مَنْ لَا يَدْرِي مَا يَتَّقِي. كَيْفَ يَتَّقِي. How could one avoid and stay away from and be afraid of? And leave off something. مَنْ لَا يَدْرِي مَا يَتَّقِي. كَيْفَ يَتَّقِي. مَنْ لَا يَدْرِي مَا يَتَّقِي. How could somebody leave off something and avoid and stay away from if he does not even know what it is? If he does not even know what it is, he doesn't know that it's haram, he doesn't know that it's impermissible, he doesn't know that it's foul, he doesn't know that there's a warning or a threat with regards to that, he doesn't know it's from the major sins, he doesn't know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has cursed the one who performs that, or the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has cursed the one who performed that, and the likes like this. And so to learn and to study the aspects of evil and the avenues of evil and the sins, and from them the major sins, is from the obligations of al-Islam. And a person, he'll never be able to be upright until he knows falsehood. عَرَفْتُ شَرَّ لَا لِشَرِّ لَكِنْ لِتَوَقِّهِ وَمَنْ لَمْ يَعْرِفِ شَرَّ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ يَقَعْ فِيهِ. The poet, he will say, I learned about the evil, not for the sake of evil, but in order to avoid it. And the one who does not know the difference between evil and good, he will fall into it. He will fall into it. كَانَ حُذَيْفَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ يَسْأَلْ أَنِ الشَّرْ مَخَافَةَ أَنْ يُدْرِكَهُ. He would ask about evil. He would ask about evil, afraid that it would catch up with him, meaning he would fall into it. And the people, they used to ask about good. Hudhayfa, he said, radiallahu anhu, and I used to ask about the evil because I was afraid that I would fall into it or be tried by it. So again, this is very important. And in order to know them, to stay away from them and avoid them and leave them upon clarity. And leave them upon clarity. And many times, the reason why people fall into shirk or fall into disbelief or fall into major sin, and fall into misguidance, and are tried by shubuhat, or tried by shahawat, and the likes like this, the avenue that they are tried, is because of ignorance. It's because of ignorance and lack of determination. It's because of ignorance and lack of determination. So here, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's saying to avoid and stay away, to leave off and to avoid and stay away from the seven major sins. The seven major sins. We have seen likewise previously, and in this narration has come in the introduction of this work or the mention of it. And the major sins, they're not seven. Rather, they're closer to 70. Even some of them mention that they're 700, meaning there are many. Meaning there are many. So there is mention of seven here is just to specify the importance of memorizing and learning these here specifically. قَالُوا وَمَا هُنَّ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. And the companions, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ, they said, and what are they, O Messenger of Allah, صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم الشرك بالله والسحر وقتل النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق وأكل الربا وأكل مال اليتيم والتولي يوم الزحف وقذف المحصنات الغافلات المؤمنات. This is the shahid for the author. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, mentioning those seven destructive and major destructive sins, the first one is shirk بالله, to associate partners with Allah, and the second one is sihr, magic, to perform magic. And the third one, قَتْلُ النَّفْسِ أَلَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ, to kill a soul that which has Allah has declared sacred and not allowed, yani, to violate its rights except in truth, and to eat the riba, to take the riba, to partake in interest, to partake in interest, وَأَكْلُ الرِّبَى, to partake in interest, وَأَكْلُ مَالِ الْيَتِيمِ, and to unlawfully take the wealth of the orphan, what tawalli yawm al-zahf, and to flee out of cowardice and fear in the battlefield, whenever the believers, they face the disbelievers, to flee in fear and run on the battlefield and turn one's back out of fear, fleeing for one's life from the enemy. This one is a major sin. وَقَذْفُ الْمُحْصَنَاتِ الْغَافِلَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. And this is the shahid for the author. And to falsely accuse of fornication without any proof or evidence, those chaste and innocent believing women. Those chaste and innocent believing women. So we see here that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned to avoid the seven major sins. And there's a benefit with regards to mentioning numbers while teaching, and that is that a person, he will be able to remember. If he memorizes them, he'll be able to count them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. If it's mentioned that this issue has 7, then if he's memorizing them and then he goes over them and he gets to 5, he'll remember there's 2 more. And it would help him to recollect and to remember them. And so this is beneficial in teaching and beneficial in memorizing. And this has come in more than one narration and more than one circumstance. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned that three affairs, those who have them will taste the sweetness of faith. And 3 characteristics and traits, those who have them, he'll be a hypocrite. Another narration, 4, he'll be a hypocrite. And another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, whoever guarantees me 6, I'll guarantee him Jannah. And the likes like this. And so numbers are mentioned in the Sunnah. Numbers are mentioned in the Sunnah while teaching, and this is beneficial. So similar like this, the author, he has many works in the same manner. Following that methodology and teaching, the author himself is Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. The 3 principles, for example, the 4 principles, the 6 principles, each one of them is different. Each one of them is about a different affair. So it's not like saying that there's only 3 principles, so how can you have 4? No, these are 3 principles with regards to the questions in the grave. As for the 4 principles, that's with regards to the clarification of a tawheed and the shirk that the mushrikeen were upon in the day of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With regards to that affair, there's 4 principles. I need to clarify and to learn. The 6 principles, that's with regards to the methodology in the life of a Muslim and how he will abide by and how he will traverse and the application of his creed and belief and the likes like this. So this is something that is well known. That is well known. And those laymen or those ignorant individuals who find fault with the Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala for the likes of this, in reality they have no clue what they're saying. They have no clue what they're saying. In reality he's following the prophetic teachings. The prophetic teachings of our noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there's a great benefit in that. A great benefit in mentioning numbers sometimes. And that's not the only way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would teach. Sometimes he would teach with questions. We'll see examples of this coming likewise. He would teach sometimes by asking a question sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then answering that. Do you know this or do you know that? Do you know what is ghibah? And the likes, like he will say the likes of these things, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he will inform them and teach them. And then he will inform them and teach them. So this is from the beautiful manner in teaching, to mention numbers, to mention affairs in the religion, coupled with a number. I need to summarize the affair and to make it easy for those who listen and the students to benefit and to learn. So here the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned these 7 affairs that are from the major sins. And again, this is a warning and a threat. And to clarify the danger of that, and from his sincere advice, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the ummah, ijtanibu, to not to leave off, but rather to leave and to avoid and stay away from. As-saba al-mubiqat. Al-mubiqat. And these things that if a person falls into them, they will destroy him. They will destroy his faith. They will destroy his deen. They will destroy his soul until he will fall on his face in the hellfire and have the anger of Allah. So these are very very dangerous affairs here. The first one is shirku billah. And this is, of course, no doubt the greatest sin. The one who commits that and dies in that manner without repenting, then Allah, he will never forgive him. The most severe and the most dangerous sin, the sin of ashirk, associating partners with Allah. Inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bihi wa yaghfiru ma duna dhalika liman yasha. That indeed Allah, he does not forgive that partners are set up with him in worship. And for those who die in that manner, for those who die in that manner. As for those who repent before they die, even from shirk, then Allah is the most forgiving and most merciful. The most forgiving and most merciful. يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. يعني for those who repent before they die. All my slaves who have oppressed their own souls, yani with sins and disobedience, do not despair from the mercy of Allah. Verily, indeed, Allah, he forgives all sins. This verse here in Surah Zumar is with regards to those who repent before they die. Allah, he forgives all sins, and even shirk, for those who repent before they die. For those who repent before they die. As for the verse in Surah An-Nisa, then this is with regards to the one who dies upon shirk without repenting. That Allah, he does not forgive shirk. And for the one who dies upon that without repenting, what he ever been. So this is the most severe and dangerous of all sins. And this is because this is the sole right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he should be loved and that he should be worshipped alone with servitude and compliance and obedience, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that no action of worship should be directed to anyone besides him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So shirku billah, taswiyatu ghayri illahi billahi fima huwa min khasa'is illahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. To make equals with Allah. To make equals with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and something that is from the special qualities or the specific qualities of Allah azza wa jal. For example, supplication and dua, invocation, or salat, or slaughtering, or taking an oath, and the likes like this. All of these affairs here, they're from the ibadat that are min khasa'is Allah azza wa jal, from the special qualities and the special affairs that are the rights of Allah alone. To direct anything from that to other than Allah is considered shirk. To make equal anything from the creation, anything besides Allah, with Allah in any one of these affairs, this is called shirk, التسويه. A shirk, التسويه. تسويه غير الله بالله في شيء من خصائص الله. أو فيما هو من خصائص الله سبحانه وتعالى. It's come in the wasiyah of Luqman. وإذ قال لقمان لابنه وهو يعظه يا بني لا تشرك بالله لا تشرك بالله إن الشرك لظلم عظيم. Whenever Luqman, he gave his son the admonishment and the advice sincerely, and he said, "Oh my beloved son, do not commit shirk. Do not associate partners with Allah. Inna shirka la zulmun azim." That indeed, associating partners with Allah in worship is a great sin. It's a great sin. Rather, it is the greatest and most severe of the sins. It has been collected by Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, that they said, "Ya Rasulullah, ayu dhanbin a'zam inda Allah? Ayu dhanbin a'zamu inda Allah?" They said, "O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is the greatest? What is the greatest sin with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?" And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Antaja'ala lillahi niddan wa huwa khalaqaka." Yani this is a beautiful answer. The manner that he replied sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, clarifying the ruling and also mentioning the wisdom behind that, coupling that with the wisdom behind that. And he said that one he can see, he didn't just say shirk billah. Rather, "Antaja'ala lillahi niddan wa huwa khalaqaka." The greatest sin, the most severe sin with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that you will make a partner or a rival with Allah in worship, and He created you. And so Allah, He created us. Rather, He created all things. And He is the provider and the sustainer of all things. And everything is in need of Him and dependent upon Him, and He needs nothing subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to give something from His creation that's dependent upon Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, some of His rights that's specific to Him, this is the worst of all sins. And the most severe and most dangerous and the most filthy and disgusting likewise of all actions of disobedience. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for this reason, he began with it, ashirku billah. Was-sihr, also as-sihr, magic. This is something that is widespread in these days, also from the major sins. Also from the major sins, and likewise, as-sihr is disbelief as well. Sihr, magic, is disbelief as well. And magic cannot be performed or will not work and take effect except by casting the book of Allah behind one's back. Yani doing away with that and avoiding that and disbelieving in that and belittling that. Belittling the book of Allah and the deen of Allah and the commandments of Allah and following the devils and following the shayateen. In this manner, this is the condition for the magician to benefit from his magic, for his magic to take hold and take effect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions about the people of book, about the people of the book and the Jews. They were the ones who had fallen into that affair. And they are the ones who are well known for the likes of this. The Jews are well known for falling into magic and performing magic and spreading magic and the likes like this. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ Allah, he mentioned about them, وَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ رَسُولٌ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ مُصَدِّقٌ لِمَا مَعَهُمْ نَبَرَ فَرِيقٌ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَرَاءَ ظُهُورِهِمْ كَأَنَّهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. That's the first point there. وَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ رَسُولٌ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ مُصَدِّقٌ لِمَا مَعَهُمْ. And whenever a messenger came to them from Allah, testifying to the truthfulness of that is with them, meaning the revelation that they have, نَبَذَ فَرِيقٌ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَرَأَى ظُهُورِهِمْ كَأَنَّهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Then a group of them, any from those people of the book, a group of them from those who were given the book before, they cast the book of Allah behind their back, as if they did not know. They cast the book of Allah behind their back, meaning they disbelieved in that and they belied that, and they showed no respect for that or honor for that. Had no care or concern for the legislation that is found therein. So they cast the book of Allah behind their back. And then after that, وَاتَّبَعُوا مَا تَتْلُوا الشَّيَاطِينَ عَلَى مُلْكِ سُلَيْمَانَ وَمَا كَفَرَ سُلَيْمَانُ وَلَكِنَ الشَّيَاطِينَ كَفَرُوا يُعَلِّمُونَ النَّاسَ السِّحْرَ يُعَلِّمُونَ النَّاسَ السِّحْرَ. And then after that, they followed that which the devils would recite. They followed the recitation of the devils, and that which the devils would speak about and call to. وَاتَّبِعُوا مَا تَتْلُو الشَّيَاطِينُ عَلَى مُلْكِ سُلَيْمَانَ. That in the time of the kingdom of Sulaiman, وَمَا كَفَرَ Sulaiman, he did not disbelieve. وَلَكِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ كَفَرُوا. But the devils, they disbelieved. How did they disbelieve? يُعَلِّمُونَ النَّاسَ السِّحْرَ. By teaching the people magic. And then what did they say before they, when they came to them, before they would teach them? وَمَا يُعَلِّمَانِ مِنْ أَحَدٍ حَتَّى يَقُولَ إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ فِتْنَةٌ فَلَا تَكْفُرْ. أي بتعلمكم السحر. لا فلا تكفر. يعني بتعلمكم السحر. يعني do not, that not one of those angels would teach the people the magic that they had learned, except they would say, we're only a trial. We're only a test for you. So therefore, do not disbelieve. And you do not disbelieve by learning magic and performing magic. So this is the case with magic. Magic is a major affair. Magic is a major affair, and even today we'll find that it happens in the ummah. Whether you will find that a relative will put it on his relative, and a brother will put it on his sister, or a mother will put it on her daughter, or a cousin will put it on his cousin, and the likes like this. This is something that is widespread, and it's disbelief, waliyadhu billah. And the magic will not take effect except by belittling the Book of Allah. And you'll find that the magicians, this is what they do. They will take pages from the Quran, they'll take Ayatul Kursi, and they'll curse it, they'll scratch it out. Or they'll put blood of menses on their, and the likes like that, or they'll put feces on their, waliyadhu billah. Waliyadhu billah. Or they'll write it backwards. They will be forced to deface the Book of Allah, and they'll be forced to slaughter something other, for other than Allah Azza wa Jalla, and the likes like this. And then in this manner, after seeking nearness to the shayateen, by following their orders, at this time the magic, it will take hold by the permission of Allah, as a trial and a test. So the point, and now to realize that magic is a major sin. Magic is a major sin. We shouldn't play with that. And we shouldn't take that lightly. And we shouldn't likewise let our children get involved in that. And we should warn them from that. And these video games, they have magic in them. Some of the video games, they get potions and they perform magic spells. The kids, they're playing them. They have potions, they have magic spells and the likes like this. All of these affairs, they're found in video games. They're found in video games. So the parent, he must be aware of the likes of these affairs before his child is cultivated upon loving disbelief, upon loving magic and the likes like this, rather to teach them that this right here, this game right here is haram, disbelief, waliyadhu billah. Magic is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not allowed. Take this game here and this game here and this game here. As for this one, no. There's no compromising with the likes of magic. There's no compromising with the likes of magic. This is from the aspects of disbelief, waliyadhu billah. وَقَتْلُ النَّفْسِ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. And likewise, to kill the soul, that which Allah has made impermissible, and has made sacred. It's not allowed to violate the rights of that soul, except with truth. And except with right. Meaning, if a person, he were to kill another person, and he was taken to a court by a Muslim judge, and he was found guilty of murder, and then the guardians and the family members did not forgive him, then his life will be taken in right. His soul will be taken in right, like this. And likewise, if a person, he was found guilty after being muhsan, after being married and having relations and the likes, and then he fell into fornication and he was accused of that in a Muslim court, then likewise his soul will be taken as well by a rajm, and this is by right. Other than that, and he is what is intended here, by to murder them, to take their life without right, waliyadhu billah, believer or non-believer. It's not allowed to violate the rights of the non-believers likewise, and without right. This is not allowed. This is from the major sins. وَأَكْلُ الرِّبَى وَرِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ وَأَكْلُ الرِّبَى, and eating the riba, meaning taking the interest, partaking in that. This is from the most dangerous of affairs. The people of knowledge, they mention many times, those who get involved in riba, they do not have a good ending. Those who get involved in riba and they do not repent, they die in a foul manner. And they die in a foul state, وَرِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. And the issue of riba is no joke. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned in his book, يَا أَيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَذَرُوا مَا بَقِيَ مِنَ الرِّبَى إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. O you who believe, fear Allah. And if fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, leave off that which remains from the interest, if you're truly believers. فَإِلَّمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. And if you do not leave off the interest, while you know it's haram, then have an announcement of war from Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this is from the aspect, wallahu alam, where the people of knowledge have derived that many times they don't have a good ending. Those who not repent from that, they die while they're upon that, yadu billah, they don't have a good ending. They don't die in a noble manner. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So this is something very dangerous. فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. It's in Sahih Muslim from the Hadith of Jabir رضي الله عنه. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, لَعَنَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم آكِلَ الرِّبَى وَمُوكِلَهُ وَكَاتِبَهُ وَشَاهِدَيْهِ وَهُمْ فِيهِ سَوَاءٌ وَهُمْ فِيهِ سَوَاءٌ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he cursed the one who takes the interest and the one who gives it. The one who takes the interest and the one who gives it. And the one who asks for it and the one who agrees and pays it. And the one who signs it and he signs for it. And those who witness it. And those who witness it. And then he said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hum fihi sawa. And if it itham, they're all the same, they're all equal. Somebody may say, well, how are they equal? The one he didn't eat it. He only gave it. He didn't use it. He didn't benefit from it. Rather, he gave it. And he And the other one, he didn't even take it, nor did he give it, but he signed it. He signed for it, or he witnessed it. The people of knowledge, they say, because all of them are pleased with that, and they're going along with that, and they're cooperating with that, and there are reasons for it to be established. So therefore, with regards to the sin, they're the same. Allah, he says, وَتَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. And cooperate all together upon piety and righteousness. And do not cooperate together upon sin and transgression. So those people who get together and they cooperate, yani upon interest, whether he takes it or gives it, or whether he signs for it, he's the one taking the contracts and signing for that. And he like those finance people who do finances. And they finance the car for the people or finance the furniture for the people. And then they're not getting any money, nor are they giving money, but they sign off on these affairs. They sign off on these affairs and they witness to these affairs. And they're going along with these affairs. And many times you'll find them advising and they're counseling the people to take, oh, this one is a low interest rate. Or if you take this one, then this interest rate and that interest rate like this. All of this is included in the curse of Allah Azza wa Jal. If there's a curse, it's an indication that it's a major sin. It's a major sin. If there's a threat from Allah of war and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's a major sin. All for a dollar. All for a house or a big car. Just get a car you can afford without interest, brother. Just get a home that you can afford without interest, brother. Some people, maybe he's going to sign a contract and take a home and then die and never sleep in the bed. Or he's going to take an interest and he's going to get in the car and wreck it and die and flip. Yani waliyadhu billah. Yani waliyadhu billah. So do not go to war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not go to war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Malik rahimahullah, he was asked a situation. He was asked a situation about talaq. There was an individual. There was an individual who was seen drunk. And he was so drunk, he was jumping in the air trying to grab the moon. He was so drunk in the air. He was so drunk, he's in the air trying to grab the moon. And he's acting a fool. And so some man, he said, I swear by Allah, if there's anything more filthy and disgusting that you can put in your stomach than alcohol, then my wife is divorced. Like this is what he said. So then after that, they were like, ooh. Wait a second. We're gonna go ask Imam Malik about this. Yani about his situation. Is his wife divorced? So they went to Imam Malik rahimahullahu ta'ala and they said to him that this is what he said. He said, I swear by Allah that if there's anything more disgusting and filthy than alcohol that one could put in his stomach, then his wife is divorced. What's the ruling? So Imam Malik, what did he say? Amhilni. He said, Amhilni, give me some time. He said, hey, give me some time. Let me do some research. He didn't answer right away. He said, give me some time. And then later he researched, and after some time he came back, where's the man at? And he told him, he said, I looked in the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla, I didn't find anything more filthy and disgusting than interest. And it's the only thing that Allah mentioned that there's a war for. And that Allah has announced war against. And His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so your wife is divorced. Like this in this manner. Yeah, just to clarify the severity of this affair. The severity of this affair. Interest is something major. Interest is something major. Nah? But if you repent, Allah, He accepts repentance. If you repent, فَلَكُمْ رُؤُسُ أَمْوَالِكُمْ لَا تَظْلِمُونَ وَلَا تُظْلَمُونَ. If you repent, you keep your money that you have, alhamdulillah. You just have to repent and never get involved in that again. Repent and never get involved in that again. Never get involved in that again. Get out of that debt. If a person, he can pay that debt off without paying the interest, he'll do that. If he's forced to pay the debt and there's no way he can get out of it except by paying the interest, which is the case many times in America, he will pay all of that. He'll pay all of that. He'll pay all of that and he'll finish it. He'll finish it. Wouldn't be able to see, oh, you know, I repent now and rip the man off like some people do. They're misguided understanding. I repent from riba. I'm not paying you anything. La, That the bare minimum he has to pay back the amount that he took without interest. If he can do that, if they force him to pay the whole amount, meaning they're going to keep on his account adding more and adding more and adding more, and the likes like this, now he has to pay. He'll pay until it's finished. The best thing to do is to take a loan from somebody who's reliable and pay the whole thing off at one time. That way he can get out of it. But in any case, he has to repent from it. He has to repent from the interest and pay off the loan that he owes likewise. وَأَكْلُ مَالِ الْيَتِيمِ, and also eating unlawfully the wealth of the orphan. The wealth of the orphan. This is a major sin likewise. Allah, he mentioned in his book, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامِ ظُلْمًا إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامِ ظُلْمًا إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا وَسَيَسْلَوْنَ سَعِيرًا. Allah, he says that indeed those who take the wealth of the orphans unlawfully, they are only eating in their bellies fire. They're only eating the fire in their bellies. This is what they're putting in their bellies. And Allah will, and indeed they're going to enter and burn in a blazing flame. Indeed they're going to enter and burn in a blazing flame. Allah, he mentioned before that, وَآتُوا الْيَتَامَى أَمْوَالَهُمْ وَلَا تَتَبَدُّلُوا الْخَبِيثَ بِالطَّيِّبِ وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَهُمْ إِلَى أَمْوَالِكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ حُبًا كَبِيرًا. يعني إثمًا عظيمًا. إثمًا عظيمًا. Give the orphans their wealth that is their right, and do not trade their good wealth for your foul and filthy wealth. And do not eat up their wealth by adding their wealth to your wealth, and then devouring that in that manner like that. Verily, this is a major sin. إِنَّهُ كَانَ حُبًا كَبِيرًا. This is a major, حُبْيَانِي الْإِثْمِ. This is a major sin. So all of these affairs are lowly. And the fact that they're prohibited, and there's a threat like this, is a clarification of the beauty of Islam. That the orphans, they're weak. An orphan is somebody who's born without a father. Or his father died before he reached the age of puberty. He's weak, he has no one to take care of him. So the legislation takes care of him. Allah Azza wa Jal, he takes care of him in his legislation. Even if in his decree he didn't have a parent or guardian to cover him, the legislation of Allah covers him and has a right for him. And so this is from the beauty of Islam. وَتَوَلِّي يَوْمَ الزَّحْفِ. وَتَوَلِّي يَوْمَ الزَّحْفِ. And to turn one's back and flee on the day of war, on the battlefield. Any whenever one is fighting the disbelievers. Any in the battle that is legislated. تَوَلِّي يَوْمَ الزَّحْفِ. To turn one's back on the battlefield, and to flee out of fear. And to flee out of fear. This is likewise a major sin. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clarified here, Allah, he mentioned in Surah Al-Anfal, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا لَقِيتُمُ الَّذِينَ كَافَرُوا زَحْفًا فَلَا تُوَلُّوهُمُ الْأَدْبَارَ. O you who believe, if you meet the disbelievers on the battlefield, do not turn your backs. Then you do not turn your backs. وَمَنْ يُوَلِّهِمْ يَوْمَ إِذٍ دُبَرَهُ إِلَّا مُتَحَرِّفًا لِقِتَالٍ أَوْ مُتَحَيِّزًا إِلَى فِئَةٍ فَقَدْ بَاءَ بِغَضَبٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَمَأْوَاهُ جَهَنَّمُ وَبِئْسَ الْمَصِيرُ. And whoever turns his back on that day, yani on the battlefield, except in the case of the one who is looking for a strategy of war, or for the one who is turning his back, yani in order to go back to one of the units of the believers, then if it was for other than that, meaning out of fear, then فَقَدْ بَأَ بِغَضَبٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ, then he has verily taken on the anger of Allah. He has taken on the anger of Allah, and his destination is the hellfire and the worst of destinations, that is. So this is a major sin. فَقَدْ بَأَ بِغَضَبٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ. Then verily he has taken on the anger of Allah, and he will bear that, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, by turning his back in this manner out of cowardice. No, a believer, if he is forced to face the enemy in this manner, he will face them, and either he will have their war booty, or he will have Jannah. We have Jannah. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, وَقَذْفُ الْمُحْصَنَاتِ الْغَافِلَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. And this is the shahid here. And falsely accusing the chaste and the innocent believing women. The chaste and the innocent believing women. So this is the case here. The believer, male and female, is included here. So the woman is mentioned here, but it's not specific. The ruling is also along with the male. And the issue here, again, قَذْفُ الْمُحْصَنَةِ. As for غَيْرُ الْمُحْصَنَةِ, then this is not included here. This is not included here. The woman who is chaste, this is what is intended. This is what is considered the muhsan or the muhsana, the afif or the afifa, the one who is chaste, the one who is innocent, the one who is pious, the one who is pure and clean. As for the one who is known for fahisha and known for indecency, then the ruling is not the same. Then the ruling is not included here. This is the qadful muhsanat, those women who are afifat, they have iffa, they have chastity, they have piety, They're free of that. They're not known of for that whatsoever. This is what where the ruling it lies here. This is what this is referring to. So the believer, he has great rights with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the male and the female. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned this. He said, فَإِنَّ دِمَاءَكُمْ وَأَمْوَالَكُمْ وَأَعْرَاضَكُمْ حَرَامٌ كَحُمْرَةِ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا فِي شَهْرِكُمْ هَذَا وَفِي بَلَدِكُمْ هَذَا. And he saw the honor of the believer is great with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reputation of the believer is sacred with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's not allowed to violate that sacredness without right. It's not allowed to violate the honor, the ird, of a Muslim. And likewise, it's an indication as well that a Muslim he should be careful, and he should be cautious, and he should himself have concern for his ird, for his honor, for his reputation. He should not put his place in places where he could be considered blameworthy and the likes like this. So in any case, from the beauty of the legislation, likewise, is the preservation of the honor of the people and the reputation of the people. Also, this is why backbiting is not allowed. And also, this is why carrying tales is not allowed. And the likes like this, and lying is not allowed on the people, and falsely accusing them and bearing false witness, because of the honor and the reputation and the wealth of the believers is sacred. It's sacred. Even the rights of the people in general, they have a sacredness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Believing and non-believing. The non-believers, even they have rights that must be observed, and it's not allowed to violate them. And the one who violates the rights even of the non-believers, he has a threat of a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to the severity of the sin. According to the severity of the sin. If a person, he were to fall into the likes of these affairs, waliyadu billah, if he were to be tried by shaitan and fall into indecency and fall into fornication, he will not confess to that, and he will not admit to that, and he will not inform anyone about that. This is what the people of knowledge, they advise, that he will not say that, rather he will hide that. He will conceal that, and he will rectify his affairs. And he will strive to rectify his affairs. He will not go tell the people that he did this and he did that and the likes like this. He will not inform anyone. Rather, he'll be ashamed, and he'll repent to Allah, and he'll try to cover himself and keep that a secret. And likewise, if the believers find out about that, likewise, they will not expose that individual. We have seen the chapter of those who like to, or those who try to spread the indecency amongst the believers, saying that so-and-so fell into this, and so-and-so did that, and mentioning the indecent and the foul affairs that the believers are falling into. This is also an min isha'at al-fahisha. This is not allowed. This is not allowed. So one, he will cover himself, and if a person he knows about that, especially if it's his family member, and even if it's not his family member, but especially, and even somebody in the community, he will not expose them. He will cover them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Man satara muslima satarahu Allahu fi dunya wal akhirah." Whoever covers the faults of a believer, Allah will cover his faults in this life and the hereafter. So to expose the believers, this is not allowed. Rather, there's threats with regards to this. So this is the case here. A believer, he will not expose others if they fall into the likes of these affairs, but he will strive to help them, and he will strive to guide them, to direct them, and advise them, and the likes like this. And if a person did it himself again, he will not expose himself. He will not. If he needs to find out the ruling or the likes like this, and he needs to ask some of the people of knowledge, he will not say, "Ya Shaykh, I did this." Huh? He will say, "Yes, Shaykh, what's the ruling for the one who does this in this manner like this?" He will not expose himself with regards to this. He will not expose his family. "Yes, Shaykh, my son did this." Yadu billah. La, he will not expose himself ever or his family unless there's a benefit and a need for that. So long as he can get the ruling by saying, "What is the ruling for the one who committed this action or who fell into this action or fell into that action like this?" And the ruling can be clarified without mentioning the details and the names of those sinners and the likes like this is what is incumbent in. This is what one should follow, and he should not expose the people with regards to this. And I wanted to clarify some of the issues related to the hadith. Although the point, of the seven major sins was the last issue, but a number of these issues here, the author, he didn't mention them. As for killing and murder, this one is mentioned, but he didn't mention the issue of eating the wealth of the orphan and the wealth of and taking riba and the likes like this. These are not mentioned in this work here. So to mention them now and some of the issues related to that is beneficial, so that the believers again can be aware of them. Shirk in all of its forms, major and minor, and magic and murder and interest and the wealth of the orphan and so on and so forth. These are important affairs to avoid them and to know about them. After this, the author, he says, بَابُ مَا جَاءَ فِي ذِي الْوَجْهَيْنِ, that which has come to the threat of the one who has two faces, and the two-faced individual. هَذَا وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيَنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ.